Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. Oh, everyone, if you got loins, gird them, because we're headed to one of the most spectacular weeks in college football. Is it rivalry week? No!
Who doesn't have loins?
Ew.
Questions that you don't want answered. We're an inclusive podcast. Cotton. If you're the loinless, we don't want to lose a listener.
Cotton Hill.
Okay.
Right?
Wait. Let me back up. What do you think loins are?
You know, Ryan, Webster's defines loins.
You know, for a frontiersman,
it's where you gird.
You're not really up on your cuts of meat.
No, actually, my first response was, how do I say the gooch area and everything around it? You know,
Goochvania.
But I didn't want to put it in terms like that. But look where you put me, Ryan. Look what you made me do. We are a minute into this podcast. Maybe not even that. And I've already dropped the word Goochvania.
Okay.
You're welcome.
If you're listening to this podcast.
I dropped it. You picked it up.
When you're listening to this podcast, please tweet Spencer at EDSBS and tell him what you think loins are.
Sorry, that's at 38 Godfrey.
We always pick on Godfrey. Come on.
Before I was so rudely interrupted by Captain Semantics over here, what I was going to say is that we are entering one of the most hallowed weeks of the year. One that I believe a true expert on semantics, Jason Kirk, coined a term for many, many years ago. Jason, what week are we entering?
Buddy, we're in SoCon Saturday, a.k.a. the SEC versus SoCon Challenge Week.
When the a.k.a. FCS Week, a.k.a. Fussing Coach Saban Week.
a.k.a. Get ready for shit to flow through a tin horn because the Alabama Crimson Tide have to play a FCS triple option team.
Which, this is all a way of saying that Nick Saban, did somebody just make the Mike Gundy fart noise?
Yeah, it's turns out fart noise was the smartest thing Mike Gundy had to say all year.
I enjoy that Mike Gundy is not taking 5-6 or 6-5 or whatever they are, that mediocre record they have. I enjoy that he's not taking it well, because most coaches only are this confidently brash and you know, deconstructed boomer when they're doing well. But Mike Gundy, he just doubles down when things are going badly.
That's a better look for him than the mock turtleneck. Callback!
It's true. Mock turtleneck's not a good look on anybody, really. No. Nor is the turtleneck. There's like three people in the world who could wear turtlenecks. One of them is
It's
not
got
Mike
the
Gundy.
Word mock in it.
Thank you.
It might as well be called the Flame Me Young.
Hey, speaking of flames and football.
Was there any
we're here to break down the Liberty game?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a way to work into Marco Rubio, but it appears he's still talking.
I was just going to go back and say that that would be the hot fire Nick Saban dropped this week, of course, because when playing Citadel, Nick Saban will take any straw that you extend in his direction and grasp at it with his wee little hands.
And scream as it waves back and forth in the breeze and yell, I'm being detained!
Yeah, he was asked if he was going to sit Tua Tagovailoa and said, no, I'm not going to sit him. Well, why would we do that? I mean, to say this was not an important game or he didn't need to play, I think we need to do a better job of the people playing around him. Some of these hits can be avoided by better execution. You can hear me hitting the table because I'm sure he started hitting the podium.
Stop punching my furniture.
When he did that.
Stop it.
Yeah. Y'all are saying that. I'm not saying that. Which is, I have to confess, Nick Saban's taught me to be a better father because I have used that line on my children.
Quit asking.
I've used that. I think that's pretty common, though. I've used the line, you said that. I didn't say that. Why would I say that? In other words, hey, we're going to McDonald's, right? When your children sometimes just invent something out of whole cloth that they think has to happen. For instance, when your five-year-old says, oh, we need to go to Target. You said that. I didn't say that.
Why does your five-year-old want to go to Target?
Dude.
Because it's next to the GameStop.
They got like four different aisles of Pokemon cards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, Aiden, you have a... This is why I remember you have a girl. A girl who's perfectly happy to spend time with people. I mean, and enjoy experiences.
I do have a child care issue I would like to raise at some point on the show.
Well, oh, we no, are go on. We never get to talk about you being a dad.
I mean, Nick Saban naturally leads to discussion of wee ones. So, yes.
So, my daughter is turned two about 6 weeks ago. And at her two-year-old... at her two-year pediatric appointment, we talked to her doctor. We said, hey, you know, we think she's probably ready to potty train soon, but, you know, we want to know if you have tips or thoughts or whatever. And this is what her doctor, who is otherwise a very straightforward and frank and helpful doctor, said. Pick a weekend, let her be naked, and she'll figure it out.
Hmm. Kind of like life, man.
No, I've heard
that's
that.
That's how I solve all my problems.
Is that a thing? Because it feels like a trick.
No, I do that like once every 6 weeks.
Okay, well.
Oh, wait, you meant is that a thing for infants?
It feels like a trick so that you can call the doctor on that Monday and be like, yeah, man, it didn't work. And he'd be like, oh, I got you. Oh, I got you to let your kid piss and shit all over the house. You big dummy. Of course that wouldn't work. Why would that work?
Maybe he does. Maybe that's a piece of advice dropped by doctors because this is around the time when a lot of people would consider having a second kid, like once the first one's up and mobile.
And this way, once you're cleaning literal shit off of a wall, you can think better of it and not have the energy to even try to have a second child.
This is starting all underclassmen on both offensive and defensive lines. That's what it is, because you go, well, what's it going to look like at first? Well, chances are it's going to be a few messes. Chances are there's going to be some tears and some screaming.
But you learn from experience.
You learn after some reps. Learn your assignments. Put it all out there. Pretty soon you'll discover. You'll get it. You'll figure out how to get it. Or I think in this scenario, you and your wife get fired. I don't know. That might happen too.
Right. You know what? I'll take the buyout. That's fine.
That's good. Can I do broadcast work afterwards? It's fine.
Sorry, I didn't. I just.
Hey, Houston, how you doing?
I just felt people should know that a doctor told me, let your toddler pee and poop everywhere.
Was there any offered logic behind this? Like,
basically, I think the logic is that, you know. Children of that age are used to being in a diaper, so they're used to, like, they have a certain sensory experience of what it's like to go to the bathroom, and that sensory experience does not include having poop and piss all over themselves, and they won't like that, and they'll want to figure out an alternative to that. But my thing is, how do you know that your toddler doesn't like having poop and piss all over themselves? Mm-hmm. What if they do? What if this is now? What if you have now reinforced like a pretty messy and distasteful joy for your kid? Because you don't know. You can't say like, oh yeah, they definitely don't like that. It's a little bit of a crapshoot.
But again, you've got a girl.
Crapshoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what I did there. I know.
That's the origin of the phrase.
That's right.
This is when
all gamblers were nude so that you could tell they weren't cheating.
Yeah. Although I think this
you take your clothes off so I make sure you don't have any cards. All right.
You shouldn't extend this to other things, though. Like, it shouldn't be like, you know, as an adult, next time you eat Chipotle or Taco Bell, you know, late at night after some drinks or many drinks, just take all your clothes off. You'll get it. See what happens.
Why are you getting autobiographical again?
You know, I like to share things with readers.
This is one of those things.
This is a podcast.
Well, thank God it's not a visual medium.
No, they're reading this. Those transcripts you post, they're huge in Argentina.
This whole method, this whole get naked and figure it out thing. First of all, that applies to lots of things in life. But I guess it's just... We're going back to caveman roots here. It's caveman logic. Mm-hmm. Your body's not designed to want shit on itself. So I guess I get it.
Sorry, I led us astray here, and I apologize for that.
No, that's fine. I was thinking that the only thing that, you know, messes itself and keeps doing it over and over again, you know, it's Kansas football. That's it. Just hire Charlie Weiss. Get him naked. You'll see. Just figure it out.
So that's what went wrong. They made him wear clothes.
Yeah. Should have just let him go, man. The week ahead, we decided, I believe this was Ryan's idea, which was, I'll do credit to Ryan since I started the podcast by yelling at him. So I won't even do a damn it, Ryan, this week for any reason, because I already did it.
Well, this week is a damn it, Ryan week. It's as if the worst part of Ryan's brain created a football schedule.
There are how many games are there that are exceptions to that?
Notre Dame, Syracuse.
Yeah.
But it's fouled up because it heavily involves the New York Yankees. Then again, we could see Notre Dame lose its best chance at a title game in many years while dressed up like the New York Yankees. That would be nice. Yeah. Iowa State, Texas, pretty important Big 12. Could be the Big 12 number one contenders match. Of course, that's on the Longhorn Network, so no one will see it.
But way more than Big 12 implications there.
More importantly, if Texas wins this, Spencer Hall clinches 2 chicken bet victories.
That's right. I think I think worst case Spencer is pushing both of those.
Yeah. Let's see. The Horns are 15th in the playoff rankings.
Yeah.
13th in the AP.
Yeah.
So we've got 4 lost trash like Northwestern in the rankings. So I think Spencer's clinched a push.
Yeah, I don't think a loss is going to drop them out.
Unless you get your ass whooped like by 70 points by Iowa State.
Which?
At home on the Longhorn Network.
Even then, that's the number 16 team in the playoff ranking. So it's not going to be, it's not enough. So yeah. To be clear, when we started this, Texas was number 6 in the AP poll. And as a result of going 1-2... with the 1 being a close last-second victory over Texas Tech, they dropped 7 spots in that poll. Cool. Thanks. Hey, thanks rest of college football for sucking and letting Texas stick around when they had no business being there, you asses.
Can I tell you one game I'm really looking forward to?
Yes.
What? And this is strictly to see if the gods will let it happen. That would be Idaho at Florida. Last interrupted by lightning. If Thor would permit us to play this game, please. I would laugh real hard if this game was canceled by lightning again. Just like, no, these two teams shall not meet. There's no reason for it to happen. If you want, very little, like, this entire schedule is Scrapple, and not even as tasty as Scrapple can be. It's a lot of... There's a lot of odds and ends, even if I did sort of perk up at the mention of Tulane at Houston because my tastes are unconventional, okay? I just think it's going to be a good game, and I'm going to watch it. And you know what? If you watch it with me, no shame and no judgment. We'll just sit there together and enjoy a little Third Coast football. But Ryan had a brilliant idea, which was to take these games and switch them out, man. Just... Take 2 games and make better games by matching them up. Right? You can swap for 3.
Yeah, swinging.
Right? 3 games.
Yeah,
I mean... No rematches, right?
We asked the folks on Twitter to just swap any 2 games. But you could, if you want to chain together as many games as you want, go nuts.
Yeah, we suggested no rematches, but we're not going to hold people to that aggressively because we're lazy.
Yeah, we can't look up to see whether these teams have played each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when you look at this schedule and you go, Stanford, Cal, drastic measures are called.
But that's actually an example of one we're not going to touch. Four. Like, Stanford and Cal, yes, you two stay in your room together. Don't come out. Please don't come out, Stanford and Cal.
Don't come out until you've scored a total of 9 points together. Or is this one where we just send them in the room naked and see? They'll figure it out.
They'll figure. Oh God.
That's an extremely Berkeley approach to the problem.
We'd rather you do it here rather than somewhere else. Okay.
All right, Jason, why don't you give us the swap first?
I like this one from my relative of some nature, Maddie Kirk 7 on Twitter. Penn State, NC State. Okay, we've lined up Penn State, NC State. That's a decent matchup, right? The winner of that would have a New Year's 6 case. Let's see what we had to do in order to get that matchup. What price did we have to pay? What devil's bargain did we have to strike? Motherfucker, it's Rutgers Louisville time. Battle for the bottom of the Power Five.
Oh my God.
And I use the word power only because I'm legally obligated to do so. The loser of this game is very possibly the worst team in FBS.
And you use the word bottom for sexual reasons.
Yes. Even though I'm not required to because Bobby Petrino has been murdered and is no longer has anything to do with anything.
Did you see that somebody figured out the timeline where, based on when he tapes the show...
Yeah, he was told that he had the meeting immediately after the coach's show.
I have gotten that tweet tattooed on my body so that I can look at it every day until I die and just get a little warm feeling deep in my heart.
I just imagine Bobby Petrino like taking off his microphone, you know, having a sip of water. Oh, a missed call. I wonder who this could be.
Like, does he get out of the show like, another successful recording? And then immediately, where's the tweet? Comes from Jason Anderson, Louisville. Kent Taylor said he taped the show with Bobby Sunday morning and Petrino left the studio at 10:40. He met with Tyra, the AD, at 11, which means he went straight from taping his coach's show to the meeting where he got fired.
I know his name's Tyra, but I just saw, and Tira met with him. I just saw immediately. We were all rooting for you. All of us. We're all rooting for you, Bobby.
We weren't. Several people were not. Jason was not rooting for you.
I can't say that.
Very, very few people were rooting for you in this instance. But yeah, you know, was it a three-way call?
God.
Holly has pulled her headphones out 3 times in the last like 2 minutes.
I rebuke this.
So here's the thing. Jason, this suggests that Penn State NC State will be the more watchable game, but I submit that there is a chance it would not be. That Rutgers Louisville would actually have enough accidental dumbassery to be more entertaining than a Penn State NC State, which may be two talented young teams with horrific stage fright at the same. Oh God! Oh every! Oh Jesus! I didn't want to be here. I wanted to do art in my room.
Let's see here. Let's find the spread for this game.
For Penn State, NC State.
For the more important game, Rutgers Louisville.
Oh, okay.
let's see. Where are we playing this thing? Let's play it at Louisville.
No, let's play it at Yankee Stadium. Let's have it be the undercard.
All right. Bill Connolly's numbers. He has Louisville as a minus 10.6 compared to an average team, and Rutgers as a minus 17.4. So Louisville would be a touchdown favorite on a neutral field. However, Yankee Stadium, that's a Rutgers stronghold. So
sure. We're
going to bump it down to 6. Louisville by 6.
If you're wondering, gosh, why did Bobby Petrino get fired? You know, really did a lot of good things with the program. One bad year. It's because he would only be a 6-point favorite against Rutgers. That's enough. That's enough to get fired right there. Spencer and Holly, do you want to pick one?
I do want to pick one. I was going to go ahead and line up. Let's see. We just should I do it? Oh, God. All right. So at Rohese wants to switch it up and take and go Arizona versus Oklahoma State. And then says to let Gundy take on the newest wave of liberalism while we get to watch West Virginia versus Wazoo. Okay. This started out kind of sexy and took us into full on like actual erotic, because West Virginia versus Wazoo. Oh dear. Also, Oklahoma State would probably lose, and I'm kind of down on Gundy at the moment, so cool. I'm good with that. That'd be fine.
I like West Virginia versus Wazoo because it's sort of like Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader, except they both smell kind of a little rough.
The Jedi do not bathe.
I mean, Obi-Wan looked pretty stinky by the end there.
That's true.
He lived in a desert for like 20 years.
And he wore like heavy clothes in the desert too. Like, ah, oh, he got to smell terrible.
He had like one garment.
He got to be real swampy under there.
Also,
buddy.
God damn, you know what Darth Vader smelled like in there? His rotting corpse.
Well, yeah, because they put him in burnt.
They just threw him straight in. They just that thing's a smoker is what it is.
Road charred and put away wet.
They put him in seared, okay? All right?
And they dunk him in goo every night to keep him
like
from melting.
Like a sous vide, sous vader.
They take him out of his nasty, sloppy smoker and dunk him in goo, and then they put him back in.
He's basically like scissors at a barber shop. That's what they put it. All right, go ahead. Yeah. Get the barbicide out.
I mean, when Luke takes off, you know, Darth's helmet in Return of the Jedi, it had to smell like one big earring back.
No,
right?
No. You know what it smelled like? Decades of farts trapped in the suit.
Yeah, just...
Oh, Dad, you stink.
Decades of dad farts.
We gotta burn you to get this out.
And that's what he meant by you already saved me. Fresh air, finally. God, I've been trapped here in fart world for like 20 years.
That's why he's so mad. The Sith, what are they powered by? Anger. If you had to smell that shit for, 30 years? Oh my God, how pissed off would you be? 20, excuse me.
Yeah. West Virginia was, it would be really good, though. I'm like all in favor of that game happening. And actually, Arizona versus Oklahoma State, because I don't know if y'all noticed, but after being like the world's worst football team for the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, Arizona kind of righted the ship a little bit here.
Yeah, they're okay. And also, Kevin Sumlin would absolutely show up to this game and like hand out transfer paperwork to Oklahoma State players. Hey man, if you're ever looking for a better opportunity, we're willing to take anybody. It's Arizona.
I mean, do you know where Tucson is? We don't. We're going back there, but let's face it, we're driven. None of us really get there on purpose.
Do you like golfing? No? Do you like drinking on a golf cart? Yes? All right.
That's a major.
Yeah.
I like the idea of like a Fox promo for this game. Like, Mike Gundy's band of snowflakes set on down to Arizona to try and cool the heat. But they'll just melt.
With all of the sort of like half literate, like half college football literate things that Fox does, right? Like historical rivalry between the Arizona Wildcats and the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who are definitely in the same conference. What?
They're in the West Conference.
Cowboy versus cowboy. Actually, it's a cat. It's
like a... But he's got a cowboy hat on, so it counts.
That is cute.
He's got the spirit of the West in his heart. And glands that have to be evacuated by a vet twice a year.
He's a cowboy who was cursed by a witch into half cat form.
And here's the same music we use for everything. Somebody's injured. The Fox injury music always has a little ride to it too, which I always think is funny. Like, it's time to be respectful, but let's keep it going.
And that's why you better hope a president never dies during a Fox NFL broadcast.
That's all I want.
It's just played on like a single trumpet.
God, I just hope it's Al Michaels on the call when it happens.
We have some very tragic news.
Oh, Jesus. What if Jason Witten has to do it?
It's going to take minutes.
He's going to slam together like six metaphors.
So the body is made out of dozens of light bulbs. And when the light bulbs go out...
Never been gladder to have Musburger safely out of the way.
Then again, what we need is Tony Romo in the call, because he'll tell you, "Ooh, gee, now watch the president's skull. It's about to explode. Pop." Oh, I saw that coming.
Oh, you see what happened? See, Secret Service leaving a gap on the west side right here. Oh, they're going to exploit that.
You probably will have the Secret Service rushing up on Romo because it's like, how do you know the president's skull is about to explode?
This is where I just think about the TV series Tony Romo Oncologist, right? Like, no sunscreen again, huh? Well, I'm going to tell you how that's going to work out. Right there. That mole? Yeah. About 3 months, buddy.
Oh, you see right here, he you see right here, he's justifying this by saying onion rings are a vegetable.
I feel like, I hate Tony Romo. All he does is tell me the truth. That's why people hate Tony Romo.
No, what you really want is Tony Romo, pre-marriage counselor.
Nobody, like a 70 to 80% fail rate on it, right?
Yeah, you see, her approach to finances is to make decisions carefully and thoughtfully. And his approach is best described as, fuck it, we're going to die one day. Yeah, see that being a real matchup problem.
He thinks a car is an investment. And that right there, circles. That's probably where things are going to go wrong.
All right. This is a great one, so let's just talk about it. From @Sean_ESPN. We test the powers of our dear, dear super weapon, Pitt versus Bama.
We're ready.
Now, yes, we do have to put Wake against the Citadel for this to happen, but that's fine. You weren't going to watch.
I mean, I think Citadel will struggle a little bit, but they might be able to get over the hill there.
Here's the best part. We can do this because by putting Pitt against Bama instead of against Wake Forest, we have clinched the ACC division. We've clinched the Coastal for them because now Virginia can't catch them. Pitt doesn't have enough Coastal games left to lose. So Pitt literally has nothing to lose against Bama and unleashes everything. The doozers.
What a beautiful game. How good would this game have been in like 1976 or whatever?
Even like 1993, it would have been pretty decent.
Nowhere near as good as it would be in 2018, though. Those old Pitt teams they always brag about. Those Mark May teams and Dan Marino teams. I say Mark May teams, ironically.
Dan Marino did more with the Dolphins than Nick Saban did, so.
None of those teams had ACC Coastal glory.
I just want to point out that, you know, as recently as this past weekend, Pitt had more starting QBs in the NFL than Alabama did.
Oh, Nathan.
R.I.P. Peter Man.
The Peter Man is rolling along.
That reminds me. One of my season-long bets has been clinched way early in the season. I want to say like week one or two of the NFL season. I did a Twitter poll whether Army or the Buffalo Bills would have more passing touchdowns by the time Thanksgiving rolled around. And because I believe the Bills have a bye next week, I'm double checking that. They don't play again until November 25th. How many passing touchdowns do you think this team has as of today, November 13, 2018?
Four.
Six.
Five.
Perfect.
Man, we just bracketed it.
How many do you think Army football, again, the team that never passes, how many passing touchdowns do you think they have?
Five.
Four.
Six.
So that time we walked up to it.
Yeah, Army officially has more passing touchdowns on 79 passing attempts than the Buffalo Bills do. I got to go back and look at it now. More than that.
More than this. The exact number is more than that.
That's enough. That's all you need to know.
So all I'm hearing is the Bills got to start running triple option.
Would that be the worst idea?
Well, it would cut down on the amount of Bills football being played.
That's true. Limit possessions.
It would also be really funny if they were like, hey, great job, Matt Barkley. Happy to have you in here. Had a great start. Crushed the Jets. Good. We are changing your role slightly. So,
Have you ever wanted to play fullback for exactly two plays?
They can just go
play for the Bills.
Go get Cardale Jones back.
Why only two plays? Well,
you're not making it a third, buddy.
Imagine if they tried to get Cardale back so he could run the triple option. He's like, I live in LA. I'm not doing that shit.
He's like, I'm good.
His job is backing up the quarterback who'll play till he's 80 years old. Cardale Jones is the world's greatest job.
He's the smartest and best.
Got that Jim Sorgi life.
Oh, God. I bet he's doing great. I mean, ideally, the best life is Matt Flynn, where you somehow trick somebody into paying you way too much money to do that, but that's a gamble. So
that's tricky to pull off.
Imagine an LSU quarterback being involved in some form of counterfeiting or fraud.
Doesn't seem right. At @wrestling_II. Long time listener of the program, and mostly yells at me for being a bad lawyer, which I am. Auburn versus UAB.
Battle for the best team in Alabama.
Agreed.
This would require us to have Liberty play Texas A&M, which is a good battle of people who gave too much money to a single figurehead who might not have earned it.
Cult fight!
Auburn, yeah. Who would you pick? What would the spread in Auburn UAB be at this point?
Is that Auburn? Is that Auburn by 13?
Some folks who wouldn't like it. It would be
Auburn by 13. I'm calling.
Not that many.
Not that many. No.
Bill would have it as 3 on a neutral site.
Wow.
3.
Yeah.
Wow. And that we should say that's mostly a testament to UAB having a pretty good season. They're 31st in Bill's rankings. Auburn is 20th right now. So it's not entirely bad news for Auburn. On the other hand, it's not entirely good news. God, I want this game to happen in a bowl somehow.
Also, Bill Clark can just bring all the stuff from his office and walk right over, can he? Could just save a trip, man.
And just sort of like,
what I brought my truck. Just, you guys.
Hey Gus, you got the Wi-Fi password? Why? Yeah. Well, no reason. I'll get it from somebody else. I don't want to trouble you.
Y'all got a Hampton Inn? Those are real nice. I'll need one for a week or two.
Please, college football universe, give us this game in some way or shape or form.
Also, I like Liberty versus Texas A&M because it's a battle of two very different Jesuses. Texas A&M has the cowboy mecha Jesus that they built in their garage. He has risen because I'm an engineer and brilliant, but also kind of deranged.
I call that fight dog versus God.
Man bites God.
A lot of people had UAB ideas, something about UAB. People want UAB to get somebody. Like whereas the fool says we want Bama, the wise person says you want UAB. We just want to sick UAB on somebody. This one from Cali Spiral on Twitter. You got to get the crazy matchup of UAB Dragons versus Iowa State Cyclones. It's a fire tornado. Yeah, woo, fire tornado. And then Cali Spiral adds, whatever schools they're supposed to play can just play each other. I'm sure it's no big deal. You know, just whoever the two opponents might have been, two totally random teams. Nobody will watch whatever that game was.
Well, let's see. We know UAB is giving us A&M. God, who would the other team be then?
Iowa State. They're in their Big 12 schedule. Uh-huh. So
what is that, Baylor? Did they already play them?
Yeah.
TCU, maybe.
Anyway, I'm sure it's not a game that either side would mind playing.
It's definitely the scrap that we throw away. We don't eat this part.
It's not a game we want to see, obviously, or it would already be on the schedule.
Right? Yeah, they would. Yeah, I mean, if it were Team Texas A&M wanted to play, they'd play it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you're disrespecting Big Cal like this. Can't believe it.
Or if Big Cal wasn't like, I mean, Big Cal wouldn't be scared of to play any particular
team. No, Big Cal's not scared of anything.
No, he's Big Cal and he don't like you.
And we can suck his dick.
You can suck his dick.
Yeah, right, yeah. Hey, Big Cal.
Who are we playing? What kind of cow has a dick? That defeats the whole point of being a cow.
The bull cow.
Bull cow, okay.
That's a Texas term. You wouldn't know that.
you simple city fuck. You don't know what a bull cow is.
You don't, do you? You've forgotten your roots.
I might not know how to read, but I know what a bull cow is.
Big cow's rich enough that he keeps a dick in the gun rack of his truck.
That's why it's got nuts. Come on. They come in a set.
Jason, you currently have in your bowl projections UAB playing Houston in the Birmingham Bowl, which A, unfair advantage. B, can you just make that Auburn? Can you just make it Auburn?
Yeah, I'll pull some strings.
Thank you. That's all I'm at. Because Auburn's only playing in the Liberty Bowl against Baylor. I feel like Baylor, Houston, Auburn, UAB, way better bowl games, right?
So you know who has the power to make this happen?
Who?
The Florida Gators.
I'll explain.
Florida drops out of the New Year's Six, which, hey, let me pitch you on that. It means you don't have to play UCF. Huh?
I'm hearing this.
Which then bumps everybody down in the SEC bowl order. Auburn is going to be close to the bottom of that list because nobody wants to go to an Auburn football game. And the last team in the SEC group would then fall into the Birmingham.
Okay.
They'd fall into the dragon's lair.
So let me be clear. If Florida loses to Florida State or Idaho, frankly.
Or just looks shitty.
It was on purpose and it was to make this happen.
Right. It was for the good of the Birmingham Bowl.
We've always acted in the best interest of the Birmingham Bowl. Again, a place where it's okay to piss and shit yourself.
Again, hashtag put pit in.
Shout out Adam Lane. You didn't have to transfer. We loved you. Pooped his pants and then transferred.
My God, he doesn't like that. You stay in your shitty pants.
You stay in your shit pants.
You keep your shit pants on.
Please never forget the Florida pooper said it was good for his brand because then people knew of his deeds.
That's all these millennials care about is their Instagram brand shitting themselves, doing whatever they want, not believing in the team.
One of those Instagram accounts where it's like the same thing every day, you know, where it's like picture of same toast every day is the handle. And that's the entire account. It's just that, but it's just shit pants. Poop my pants every day.
That's Jim Nance's account. Burnt toast, burnt toast, burnt toast. Pick of me in a sweater, burnt toast.
For the brand.
The last one I believe that we have. Can you mind if I take this one?
Sure. Because
I find
sure.
it very entertaining.
It might not be the last one. I might add another one. So whatever.
You know, you dive right back in there.
Thank you.
You jump right back in because all I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the one where this is a bit of a prop bet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because we did get a little creative. I appreciate the creativity. At Hooded Rehab. It's an ominous name. Maybe you have to have an ominous name to think of an idea that's perverse, which is to get Alabama football to switch opponents with the Arizona Cardinals, Saban versus Gruden and the Raiders. You know you love it. I do, actually. Then Citadel gets to play Arizona. I guess, you know, not the Arizona Wildcats, not the possessed, cursed cowboy cat. Just like the gypsy said. No. We're talking the Arizona Cardinals, the full force of an NFL roster in your face, Citadel. That's going to be kind of bloody. But Saban versus the Raiders, one of my favorite discussions always is, could this college team beat this NFL team? Which, to put that in the proper context for somebody, to say, could this high school team beat this college team? And the answer is, you know, 1,000 or 999 times out of 1,000. No.
But there is a wrinkle here.
Mm.
What Alabama legendary receiver was on the Raiders at the start of the year, but is not anymore?
Amari Cooper, right?
Amari Cooper is absolutely going to be like, oh, Bama's playing the Raiders. Here you go. Here's the whole playbook. Here's all of it. Here is, yes, it does have a lot of references to Pogs because that's the era that John Gruden is stuck in. A lot of Sublime references as well. You'll notice that. Totally unnecessary. But here it is. Here are all of them.
Treat the ball like your Tamagotchi.
You got to care for it.
Couldn't Amari just suit up? Some revenge on John Gruden? Actually, John Gruden did that man a favor, so I don't... Got him out of the Raiders locker room.
Yeah. I don't know. If Derek Carr's out there, you may just be able to, I don't know, psych him into a state of fragility and sorrow where he's just paralyzed. Because they've broken him fully.
Yeah. Like,
he's a broken man.
Maybe John Gruden's actually not a bad coach. Maybe he's like smuggling people out of the Raiders. Like, these aren't bad trades. He's getting people out of a bad situation. Like, and he's actually a secret hero.
So he's an agent who is sent to rescue people from Haircut Davis.
Yes. Or lack of Haircut Davis, who again drives a conversion van still.
Stop making me like him.
Why do you want to be like him?
What's not to like? He's very self-actualized, is he not? He's the brokest rich guy in a club.
Yes.
Relatable.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Because the only kind of rich I'm getting is to be the least rich person in a collection of rich people. That's the only way it's going to happen.
You do work in online media, so yes, you will always be broke.
That's correct. In addition to that, he basically has terrible taste and is okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, good for him. He's weird even for a rich dude. And he drives a conversion van. And I'll admit, there's a certain 11-year-old part of me that will always look at a conversion van and go, captain's chairs, man. Captain's chairs.
That's all it takes. All right, the actual last one I want to do is from our good friend Brody Logan, at Brody Logan on Twitter. Have USC and Colorado trade opponents so we get two desperate, about-to-get-fired coaches who don't give a shit anymore facing each other. This, as a side note, this would give us Utah versus UCLA. Don't watch that game. Just watch this game. USC, Colorado, all of the sadness, all of the despair.
I love that stuff.
It is weird, though, that both these programs could be firing their coaches after this year, having done basically the same thing. Like, it almost suggests that the standard to be Colorado's head coach is the same as the standard to be USC's head coach, which is insane. Which is absolutely fucking insane.
Well, it's a highly accomplished program, such as
Over a certain timeline. Yes, that's true.
Excuse me.
I mean, the real pressure you place on yourself is, you know, being good. So the lesson is to never be good.
Oh, yeah. If you never set the bar, you'll never run into it.
Exactly. Don't do that. You have two options as a coach. All right? You can be good, or you can continually get a team up to 7 or 8 wins from the bottom and leave. Be that person. Be the person who's just continually rehabbing programs, right? Person who gets it going. And somebody goes, well, man, is he a 10-win coach? I don't know, man. We're never going to find out. I just got to go do the next thing, man. Bye.
Who is that coach? Oh, I know who it was, but he forgot his own rule. It's Todd Graham.
It was Todd Graham.
We got to stay on the move. Dutch said exactly. We got to keep moving west, east, north, and south.
Be a bandito, man. Just be a bandito. Don't get caught. Don't get caught lingering too long. Don't let the eyes of a local lass seduce you into staying.
Because here's what Todd Graham did. 7-6 his first year at Rice. Pretty good year for Rice. Gone. Immediately gone. Tulsa. 10-4, 11-3, 5-7, 10-3. Immediately gone. So it took a little while there, but and you know, look, he was younger. He probably figured, hey, I've got an 11-win Tulsa team. I can turn this, like, maybe I can get, like, a hell of a job out of this. But once he hit that 5-7 season and he had one turnaround, yeah, gone. Pittsburgh, 6-6, gone. and then yeah.
He couldn't handle the pit, man.
and then ASU, 8-5, 10-4, and that's when it should have happened. That's when he had won a I think that was the year. Yes, that's the year he won the Pac-12 South with ASU. 10 wins, 8-1 in conference. Should have bolted. Should have taken the Chargers job. The Chargers job is always open and always filled.
You may have already had it.
You have already had it, and yet you've never had it. It exists outside of time and space. Go be the Chargers coach. But he didn't do that. He stayed at Arizona State to his own demise. On the other hand, maybe he's going to get the Kansas job. And if you do, Todd, once you hit 5 wins, if you get there, maybe 4, bolt, leave. Learn from your own mistakes, goddammit.
Yeah, that's what Mangino should have done. There's another universe where Mark Mangino took the Kansas job, ends up having that miraculous 2007, and immediately bolts to take whatever's open in 2008. Probably the Chargers job.
Damn, he'd be perfect on the Chargers.
Let's see. 2008 head coaching changes. Let's just pick a spot for him. Let's see. Arkansas hired Bobby Petrino.
See, should have hired him.
Probably actually Michigan, Rich Rodriguez.
Should have hired him.
Nebraska, Bo Pelini was right down the street.
Yeah.
Lots of good options.
Probably could have just packed up the U-Haul himself.
Oh, here you go. Clemson. They had an interim coach who had no experience whatsoever. You know, part of a failed staff.
I'm sure that worked out poorly.
Why not just bring in a guy with an orange bowl on his resume? There you go, Clemson. We fixed all your problems.
See?